Today is Saturday, the 1st of October 2022, and we are all gathered here for the mindfulness for the program on mindfulness for beginners. And representing Nisarwane Forest Monastery, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero joining us to take part in the session today, and also to provide us with valuable insights. I would like to welcome Bhante with much respect on behalf of the organizers and all the attendees who are participating in session through Zoom and MixLR. Also, I would like to warmly welcome all the organizers and the attendees attending through Zoom and also Facebook live stream of Nisarwane Satipasala Foundation. So the program structure will flow on as firstly we will go through in session mindfulness practice, after which we will go for the question and answer session, and then we will move towards the talk on mindfulness, and then we will conclude the session. So I hope everyone is able to gather a valued insight through this session today as well. With that, I would like to hand over the microphone to Bhante to commence the proceedings, starting off with in-session mindfulness practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thank you, Namantha. So hello everybody, today another program we are starting. We can take like 10 to 15 minutes, probably like 20 minutes, to practice something related to mindfulness we usually practice in our program. So today I thought we can do an activity which is related to our practice, which is related to mindfulness practice. So I invite you to gather a piece of paper and a pen. You can take 1 or 2 minutes to gather that, and when you are ready, we can start the activity. You can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready when you have that. Okay, it seems like most of you are ready. So we will start the activity for today. Today we are going to take this piece of paper and write something on it. We are going to write answers to a question. Right? This question is regarding yourself. So the question I'm going to ask is, what are you? Instead of asking who are you, I'm asking what are you, and think about it. What are the things that represent you, right? So you might have various things in your life. Some of you might say, I have this profession, so that is me, and that profession represent me. Some of you might think that you have probably a vehicle, a brand new car or something, right? So this is what representing me, right? And some of you might say that you have a family, probably like a husband or a wife or 2 children. And you think that those are the parts that represent you, right? Maybe some of you might think that your body shape, right? I'm a tall person. That's something that represent me. Right? So those things you have to think. Probably create a list that out of the things that you can think of. We will see what comes out. So this is actually thinking about your life, reflecting about your life, and probably putting it on paper. What are the things that make you you, right? Or what are the things that represent yourself? This body is a good one. Probably we have that idea that this body represents me. I have this kind of a shape, form, right? In addition, there may be some materialistic things, physical things that represent you. And when you dig deeper, maybe thoughts, ideas, emotions, they too represent a good part of you, right? A good portion of you. Maybe I'm a proud person.
Just a quick announcement to everyone. This is a session which is a video on session. So all of you who are joining can turn your videos on. It enhances the sense of interaction and teamwork in this program. So I'm inviting everyone to turn the videos on. It is not just for the organizers. It's for an open option for all attendees. Thank you.
So what else can we add into this list? You have to think for yourself and see. Probably education, probably your professions. Physical things. Your body, thoughts, emotions. Dig deeper and try to complete. Okay, I think you had enough time. So shall we start sharing what you wrote? Who would like to share?
Avasarai Bante, this is Anupama here.
Yes.
Is it okay if I share?
Yeah, go ahead.
So interestingly, when you mentioned the question, what are you? One of the first things that came to my mind, I don't know why, is that I'm a human. I know it's very broad, but yeah, that's one thing that came to my mind. And then on my list, there's nothing physical there. I just couldn't identify with anything physical as being part of me. But I have mentioned having the right work-life balance. And I think another important part is the friendships and relationships in my life. So, for example, my kids and my spouse and my friends, their influence and, you know, their presence, I think defines a lot of who I am. Other things like hobbies, things I do to de-stress, I listed as an important part of me. I think I do enjoy nature as well. So whether it be just going for a mindful walk or spending time in the garden and watching the seasons change, all that I would, I have listed. And also, I think understanding the meaning and purpose of life, I would say, is one of my interests or something I'm curious about. So whether it be through exploring the Dhamma or mindfulness or reading or art, for example, those are the things I listed. I tried to think of anything physical that I would identify, but I know we are surrounded with physical things, but I couldn't put it down in my list because I couldn't really identify that as an integral part of me. That's my list, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. The idea is to make you think, right? The purpose of the activity is to make you think. So when you really think, okay, these are the parts of my life. These are my interests, right? These physical things, probably like thoughts, emotions. So just to think, reflect on your life and see what are truly representing you, right? As a person or as an entity, what are the things that represent you, right? So thank you for sharing. Anybody else would like to take a chance? Mihiri, yes.
Okay, Avasarai Bhante. The first things that came to my mind, because you said, what are you? The first thought I had was, this is learned things, but that's what came to my mind. Just form, and that I'm just a collection of the, you know, feelings and perceptions and thoughts. And then when I thought longer, I thought, okay, I identify myself as a wife, a mother, a sister, a retiree. So that's how that was my list. And then when you talk more about feelings and things, I thought, oh, I'm an impatient person. And then I thought more about the body, and then I didn't identify as a part. I was thinking of, because I do a lot of 32 parts of the body and so on, that those things came to my mind. And that was it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for sharing. Yes, so you can reflect on yourself and see what are the things that you value. Okay, right. Anybody else? Okay, Hiranti, right? You have to unmute first, I guess.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. These are the things which came to my mind. I'm a very kind person. Therefore, I get hurt very easily. And then I worry a lot. At the same time, I'm very clean. I think sometimes I wonder I'm obsessed with the cleaning. Because when people around are not very clean and tidy, I get annoyed. And also, I can't stand the unfairness in anywhere. So I just try to correct things, especially which involves with me. Mm-hmm. I like most of the Buddhist principles and always try to rub it on other people as well and value it a lot. And also I like sweet things in food. I like sweet desserts and sweet food, which is one of the things I'm trying, you see, I'm aware of. So those are the things which came to my mind.
Okay, so that's a good one. Basically, these qualities represent you, right? Kind, emotional, worrying, obsessed. So those are the things, right? So when we really think about it, these thoughts, emotions, they represent a huge chunk of our self. Even children, probably your spouse, might come and challenge these thoughts and emotions. You get mad, right? Because these thoughts, emotions, they are, let's say, always yours. They represent a big chunk of you, right? Even the closest family members sometimes can't touch those thoughts, emotions, because that's your view. These things represent a big chunk of you. So you have a whole lot of those qualities. So we are glad that you are aware about these qualities. That's the idea, right? You could have defects. The idea is to become aware, know that you have these defects. Okay, right. Anybody else? Okay, Rajika can share. Rajika is asking whether I have a list. I didn't prepare a list, so you can share yours.
Thank you, Vante. When you said about the what am I, when I was thinking, I couldn't really find anything physical or materials. I know I have a physical body and the materials are around me, but I don't think any of those things represent me. But finally, I try to dig deeper when you ask us to do so. I thought my crooked teeth, because that's something represented me while I was at school, and my smile. I don't know, everyone say I always smile. So those two things I found as my physical body when I think about my physical body. But when you ask me what am I, first thing came to my mind is caring, kind, sharing person. Just like Hiranti said, the first thing she said, like, I'm kind and I get hurt easily because I'm kind and I get worried after that. That's the equally applied to me, but not the second part. Like, I'm not that tidy, so it's two different things, but I'm kind, hurt, and the worry, that is part of me. And I think about others a lot, and I'm a very sensitive person, very truthful, and the trust is most important thing for me. And when I dig deep, I thought the mindfulness became a big part of my life now, because organizing few programs and kind of throughout the week I'm focusing on those programs, so it kind of became a part of my life, even doing the morning mindfulness session as well. And I'm a very family oriented person. Those are the things that I think represent me. Thank you, Vante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. And Sayomi, right? Sayomi, you can also share.
Okay, thank you. This has been said before, I think, but again, I'm sure it's learned behavior and learned thinking. But the first thing when you said, what am I rather than who am I? I again thought I'm made up of a physical body, made up of cells and things like that. But obviously, you can go deeper into atoms and molecules and all those sorts of things. And also, I know this is purely learned thinking, but and then I thought, moments of consciousness, and again, all these things are changing. So all these things I know I've got from the Buddhist thinking and teaching. So it's sort of maybe conditioned into my mind now. So, but I do use that. I mean, that is how I think when it comes to, you know, if anything happens, I think, oh, well, you know, I'm just a collection of cells and I'm just, you know, so I use that. So although it is learned, I kind of, that is how I genuinely now think about things, I think. I also wrote, when you were saying in terms of, that's what I thought you meant initially, but when you said, you know, I wrote, okay, sister, wife, my occupation, daughter-in-law. I also wrote impatient, family orientation, self. I wrote self-centered, egotistical, not in a negative way so much, but in a just observationally, you know, constantly the mind is, you know, I feel I'm always just thinking about, you know, I'm very aware of me, I think, a lot all the time. So that's what I meant by self-centered and egotistical. And sort of thinking about, and also I just wrote analytical, reflective, and then in the physical form I wrote overweight when you were asking about that. But that those aren't the first things that came into my mind. When you just said, what are you? I just wrote basically physical body and maybe mind and moments of consciousness. That's all.
Okay, thank you for sharing. And I think so the purpose of the activity was to make you think. So you got the idea. So these are the things that represent us. These are the things that we value, right? So you have a list of these things. And probably during the talk, we will discuss on this topic a little bit further. So that's the activity for today. And with that, I think now, Mante, we can move to the next part.
Okay, Mante. Much merits for that. And so moving on the program, I would like to invite Anupama to present the reports for today and also conduct the verbal question and answer session thereafter.
Thank you, Namante. Avasarai Bante, I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes, we can hear.
We have two reports. Thank you. We have two reports today. I will start off by reading report number one. Mindful walking. Walked up a barely formed narrow path with many bends to the top of a hill. Noticed the right foot lifting, moving and placing on the path, and feeling the body weight shifting to right side. Then noted lifting left leg similarly. Noticed the alternate movements of each leg for a while. Then the attention focused on avoiding rocks on the path. At each bend, the body weight was balanced more on the right leg and right side. Also, from time to time, we needed to take big steps up the hill. The tendency was for the right leg to balance the body weight. High heat from the sun felt on the hands, face, back and legs. When walking under trees, the cooler air contacted the skin. Mind preferred that to the high heat. Noted this as thoughts of liking and disliking. Wondered why the sensations of left leg wasn't prominent in this walk. Knowledge that the body was walking was present in the mind. Ocean appeared way below through an open space in the bend, and walking had paused to take the view in. Then realized that there is a bit more of a height left to the destination and resumed walking. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. It has taken about 7 days out of a 2-week holiday to experiment eating in moderation. First couple of days, too much was consumed and felt the consequences in the way of feeling tired too soon while taking part in activities. Slowly managed to reduce the amount of food at each meal. Mind was okay to follow this intention more often than before. Now there is a sense of peace during meal times. Another time, sat on a rock by the shore. Noted how the eyes scanned the horizon of the sea from left to right to a few times. Then the breath appeared. Next, the hardness of the rock supporting the lower back was noted. Could see the seabed clearly as the sun shone on the water. Many little fish moved around. Mind returned to breathing. At the beginning, it seems the sea was almost still with barely any waves. But now the tiny waves were noted. Even the sound of little waves was becoming clear. Tried to isolate the path of a single wave, but the rising and falling of waves was so quick and the eyes could not isolate one. Noticed more and more such smaller details while calmly sitting on the rock. Unexpectedly, this holiday has provided a good test in experiencing mindfulness, whether it's during a hike up the mountain to see ancient ruins, or sitting by the sea, or while swimming, etc. Perhaps this will come in handy while the body is on deathbed too. Instead of feeling worried, this ability to return to the mindfulness of body and mind may prove to be a useful skill at the end of life too. Venerable Bante, I look forward to your valuable guidance. Much merit to you and the organizers of this Dhamma program. The end of report one.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. As you can see, this ability to observe, the ability to be aware, that's what we are practicing, right? So as a human, you have this ability, but only when you hear about it, you understand the value of it, right? As long as you don't hear, you don't know that even this ability is there. It's like the function of a mirror. The function of a mirror is to reflect. Usually we get dragged away by the image that we see. When you go in front of a mirror, you see your face, right? Usually the monkeys, they go and they try to fight the monkey in the other side, right? Although you may laugh at those monkeys, we are also doing the same thing. We look at our reflection and we see, okay, this thing, I have some gray hair, right? That way you think. You get carried away with the image that's appearing inside. But this function of mindfulness, the quality of mindfulness is the reflection. Right, the ability to be aware, the ability to know. That's what we are training. That's what we are practicing. So sometimes you see that you eat too much. Sometimes when it is too little, you start complaining. When it is too much, you feel sleepy. So this is life. Right, always you can't have the exact amount. Instead, usually it goes here and there. Right, so the observation is what we are doing. You can continue this observation throughout your life. Right, today there were like 200 young adults were there, and they are new. I asked them, "Do you know this idea of mindfulness?" None. Right. The entire group is new to this concept, right? Then I told them that this is the idea, this is the function. It's like you are looking at a mirror and you see a reflection. So the function of mirror, that's what we are practicing. That's the quality we are practicing. So I gave them the idea. Then I asked them, so do you think that you just identified this quality, you just discovered this quality, or you had it early as well? Then the most of them told that you gave it to us, Bhante, right? So today only they knew this idea. Today only they discovered this quality, right? That's what they are saying. So although I can be proud, it's not true. When you are born as a human, you have this quality in your mind. You don't know the value of it. We are just showing you the value. We are just giving you the idea. You have this quality to reflect. That's the quality, that's the highest function of your human brain. That's why you are called Homo sapiens sapiens. Not only you know, but you know that you know, right? So that quality you have. As a human, you have that quality. So they are saying, I gave it to them today morning. Although I can be proud of that, that's not true. When you are born as a human, you have this quality in your mind. What we are doing here in this session is give proper value to that quality. Give proper potential to that quality. Identify that quality. It could be too much. It could be too little. Still, you can have the ability to know. You can become aware, right? Your mind is calm and peaceful. Still, you have the ability to know. Your mind is all over the place. You are worrying. You are crying. Still, you have the ability to know. That quality won't disappear. You could be peaceful. You could be worrying. Still, you have that quality to know. When it is dark, you know that it's dark. When it is light, you know it's light. That's the idea. That's the idea. So even your reports earlier regarding the activity, you mentioned that you worry. Rajika is saying that I'm worrying, right? So those are your qualities. We are not inviting you to change them. Instead, be aware that you are worrying. Be aware that you are emotional. Be aware that you have this kindness. As a result of that kindness, you have this worry as well. Right? You go and do something. And when it goes wrong, sometimes you start to worry. Right? So the ability to know is what we are practicing. Right? You could be in heaven, you could be in hell. But still, if you know that you are there, still you have the ability to know, okay, I'm in heaven. I feel this blissful nature. Okay, I'm in hell. I'm suffering, pain, in aching, worrying. Still you know. That very knowing is the function. So in your report, you are mentioning that you can practice this. Even at your deathbed, you can practice this. It's going to be difficult, not easy. I can't guarantee that because this body is ending. You have to leave all those possessions, right? You have to leave all the family members. You have to leave all the thoughts, emotions, everything, right? So it's going to be difficult. So you have to practice as much as possible. Practice, be ready. And when it comes, you can just be aware that your body is aching, paining. Your friends and family are around, surrounding you. Probably they are crying, right? Probably you are in a hospital. You have these worrying thoughts, emotions. Sometimes you feel like crying. So this entire package will be there, right? Still, if you have strong enough mindfulness, you can be aware that this process is happening. My life is coming to an end, and you can face it with like some kind of a strength, right? So you have to practice as much as possible. Be ready. Accept the present moment. Be present. Try to strengthen this quality. And when you have practiced, it's easy to face whatever the situation that might come. Okay. So thank you for sharing your experience. And we invite you to share the experience again.
Thank you, Bante. I will now move on to report number 2, sitting meditation. Sitting on a cushion, noted pressure on buttocks and legs. Brought attention to breathing, noting sensations of touch inside top of nostrils on the in-breath and touch on upper lip during out-breath. Was able to maintain awareness of these touching sensations for about 15 to 20 breaths before noting thoughts arising. One thought would lead to stream of others before awareness of thoughts would be noted and attention returned to breathing sensations. Noted some breaths were longer than others and awareness of smells during in-breath. Sometimes attention would move to mouth and throat, noting buildup of saliva and sensations of swallowing. Practice continued in this way for 25 minutes until the bell rang. Walking meditation. Walking on a tiled floor, a distance of about 20 paces after a period of sitting. When starting, noted strong pins and needles in one leg, which obscured sensations of touch on the sole of that foot. Continued to walk and noticed pins and needles becoming less prominent after a while, and pressure on sole of foot became noticeable. Noted pressure on both soles of feet when standing and sensations of touch on upper part of each foot as it moved. Sometimes noted a sticky sensation near the balls of the foot as it was being raised. Noted that awareness of sensations on feet would move from one sole to the other very rapidly. Noted that awareness of sensations on feet would move from one sole to the other sole very rapidly. Also became aware of seeing and hearing things. But attention returned to sensations of feet quickly. before any recognition of what was seen and heard. As walking continued, thoughts would arise and lead from one to another before attention returned to sensations of walking. Practice continued in this way for 25 minutes until the bell rang. Many thanks for the organizers and Venerable Bhante for the opportunity to share my practice report and receive guidance. End of report 2.
Okay, in your report, probably two occasions that you are mentioning that you couldn't identify. Means certain things were there, but you couldn't identify. So that's fine. That's fine. Whatever you could notice, notice. Whatever you can't, that's fine. Let them go. There'll be a day that you are noticing them. Probably not today. That's fine. Because when we talk about mindfulness, we say that it has a function of a gatekeeper, right? Protecting a gate, protecting the gate of your mind. So whatever the objects that come through, you are inspecting, you are identifying. That's the function, right? Sometimes certain things miss, right? If you go chasing after that person, then the gate is not secure, right? That's not the proper thing to do. Right, so you are protecting the gate. Certain objects you will miss. That's fine. Let them go. Do your duty. Keep the gate safe. Keep the gate secure. That's the idea, right? If you go chasing after those objects, then you are creating more and more chaos, more and more trouble. Right? There'll be a day that you are noticing those things as well. You are catching those things as well. Probably not today. That's fine. That's fine. Whatever you can notice, notice. Whatever you can't, know that certain things are there, but I couldn't notice. Right? You are continuing your observation. You are being aware again and again. So that's the idea. No need to chase after those things. No need to go looking after them. No need. Just keep observing. Keep noticing whatever you feel. That's fine. Right? So that's the way of practice. Try to continue. And with time, you will see certain things come, certain things go from the background. Both are okay. Right? Sometimes they come to our attention. They get up. They show themselves. Right? Then you notice. Then you see. Okay, this is a thought. This is emotions. I am angry. I am lustful. Those things you can notice. Certain things, they go from the background, right? They are not that visible. They are not that apparent. That's also fine. And let me add one more thing. When you mature in your practice, when you develop in your practice, more and more things will go to the background, right? Less prominent they will become, right? Less colorful they will become. Only certain or a few things will come to your attention. Only certain few things you will start noticing. That's also fine because now you are letting go. Your mind is letting go more and more. More and more objects. There's no need to reflect. There's no need to get them into the attention. Instead, they flow. Right? Don't try to disturb that flow. Let it flow. Whatever come to your attention, you can notice and be present. So that's the idea. Continue that way.
Thank you, Bhante, for that advice. I think we now move on to the next part of our program, which is to make any comments or if you have any questions for Bhante. Kindly raise your Zoom hand and we will give you the opportunity to speak. It looks like we don't have any questions or comments. Oh, yes, we do actually. Hey, Mamali, kindly unmute yourself and ask a question.
Avasarai Bhante, at the death bed, you mentioned that to realize the pain, is it if you are in pain, is it good to know? Is it good to realize that you are in pain at the moment of death?
Let me ask another question, right? Hey, when you are sick, right? When you are sick,
yeah.
Is it good to realize that you are in pain? Is it good to realize that you are sick? Or is it good to avoid? Probably take a painkiller and avoid. What's your idea?
Bante, it's good to know that you are in pain and to endure that. That's what I am doing normally, Bante.
Okay, right. We are happy to hear that, yeah. Because most of the people, they prefer the other way, the easy way out. You take a painkiller, yeah. And you just, you know, avoid that.
From recently, I started that, Bante, without yeah. taking a paracetamol or that thing, just to endure the pain.
Yes, so a sickness.
So I can, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Bante, then I can feel that it's getting reducing and no more pain. Later, it will take some time, but the pain will go, Bante.
Okay, so that's a good way of practicing because usually when we are sick, we prefer the other way, taking a painkiller, avoiding, right? Mm-hmm. It's difficult. It's difficult to be aware because your body is aching, paining, difficult. But you have this ability, you have this strength. Little by little, you have to develop. Before you talk about the deathbed, you have to try and face at least an illness. 3-4 days lasting, can I face this one? Right? Because if you are ill, if you are sick, that's body's way of suggesting a break. Right? That's nature's way of suggesting a break. Usually you work. Probably 15 hours per day you work, right? You run here and there. You have take all the responsibilities in the world and you do, right? And after a few weeks, you suddenly realize for no reason you have fallen sick. You can't even get up. Now what you do? You take few painkillers. You go to a doctor. Somehow again, you make this functioning and try to run. But this is body's way of suggesting a break, right? So when you are sick, accept that suggestion, accept that calling, and try to be with that sickness. Probably if it is too difficult, you might have to go for medicine. That's fine. But try and see what is there at least. Try and see how this body is creating more and more difficulty. How this mind is all over the place when you are sick. It's not calm and peaceful anymore. Instead, it's worrying, generating so many thoughts, right? This is the reality that we are facing when we are sick. The reality of the body and mind. When you are healthy, that's just ignorance. That's why they say, when you are sick, you only need one thing. That's to become healthy. When you are healthy, you need 1,001 things. Right. So when we are sick, can we face this sickness? Can we go through it? I'm not saying it's easy. You have to experiment for yourself. In this same audience, in the same group, we heard certain reports earlier that they were suggesting that usually I take painkillers. But now due to the practice, I tried and this is my experience. This is how my body was aching, paining. This is how the thoughts, emotions were like. And this is how I practiced. This is how I came through. So that's the starting point, right? Don't worry about deathbed yet. Instead, try to go through a sickness. Try to go through a cold or a fever and see whether you can endure it. Gradually, you have to develop this and you realize that this very knowing is difficult sometimes. When you are aching, paining, it's difficult. But what's the alternative? The alternative is crying. The alternative is, you know, worrying. The alternative is screaming. So you have probably seen those type of people. at their deathbed, they are screaming, they are crying, they are worrying, they want their family to hold on to them. Have you seen such people, right? So they are so confused. That's the alternative that you have. No amount of painkillers will heal your wound there. No amount of painkillers will reduce that pain, right? So you have to endure that. So your question is whether it's good to know. The alternative is ignorance. The alternative is not knowing. And anyway, you have to face that, right? Probably you'll start crying. Probably you'll start suffering. Probably you'll start worrying. So that's the end. That's the end you are going to make, right? So you have two choices. Not knowing, it's ignorance. That's what we are doing most of the time. Knowing, although it could be difficult, it is accepting the situation, right? Be aware that you are pain in aching. Be aware that you are suffering. Be aware that these thoughts, emotions are there. That very awareness we are practicing. If you hold on to those thoughts, emotions, then you start screaming. Then you start crying. Then you start holding on to your family members. That's the way. So start with, in this moment, start today. And see, can I face this type of difficulty? When there's a headache, can I face it? When I have a fever, can I face it? When somebody come and blame me, can I face it? Right? That very practice will gradually improve to a level, up to a level where you can endure bodily difficulty, right, at your deathbed. These thoughts, emotions, you can endure them. So that's the idea. It's gradually you have to develop, right? Knowing is good. I'm not saying knowing is easy, but it is good if you can endure it. So that strength you have to gradually develop. Like how you are climbing steps, you are gradually moving up. That way you have to develop this practice. So that's the idea.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bhante, for that very valuable advice. It's certainly helpful for us all to keep persevering with our practice and good motivation to take one step at a time. Are there any other questions or comments from the audience? You can ask now. If not, you will get an opportunity before the conclusion as well. I think that might be it for now. I will now hand over to Naamantha to proceed with the rest of the program. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Anupama, and much merits to you for conducting the Q&A session, and also much merits to Bhante for valued advice and insights. As the next agenda item on our session, we have the beginner's introduction on mindfulness practice. So this is to act as a guideline for anyone joining today and also as a refresher for all of us participating. I will share the screen to go through the few steps. Okay, I think you can see my screen here. There are two videos, one on mindful walking and the other on mindful sitting, which will explain to you with basic details on how to commence each of these sessions. And then you can, once you become familiar with the concept, you can start allocating time daily from your schedule. We recommend daily time allocation for this. And then also you can allocate, if you are starting up, maybe 10-15 minutes for each session, and then expand it to 2 hours, or rather 1 hour for each session, totaling up to 2 hours of mindfulness practice. And even if you're a beginner, you can start off with 1 hour of mindful walking and then move on to 1 hour of mindful sitting, which is what I did, and I had no difficulty starting off with 1 hour. Because it's a matter of whether time you have available time for that kind of practice at the beginning. Thirdly, is a very important point. You have to write your experience in written format and send for Bhante's advice and insight. This will help you to one thing. You are putting your practice experience into word, which kind of reassures you of what you experience and strengthens your own practice. Number two, Bhante's insight will be always cultivating more insight in your mind to progress further. So you can write about mindful walking, about the whether it was easy or difficult, whether your mind was you know, doing a lot of traveling, or whether it was stationary on the object of focus, which would have been the feet touching the ground. That's your obvious basic focus point, but it could be anything else. It could be the rhythm of your body. It could be your movement or thoughts. Even surrounding noises can grab your attention, but you need to always try to understand whether the focus shifts back into the body and you start to comprehend that you are again focusing on the body parts moving or in contact. So that's that for mindful walking. Next is mindful sitting. The object of focus would be could be the breath moving in and out, abdomen rising or falling, bodily vibrations, excuse me, or any other subtle vibrations within the body, or distractions or anything like that. Again, it could be an easy session or a difficult session. It doesn't matter. What matters most is that you are aware of what is happening, and that awareness is checked upon as and when possible. Excuse me. Then you can send the report written in such manner through the Google form or to the email beginnersenvy@gmail.com. I will put in these links into the chat section so you can copy them off. The fifth point is on the recordings from previous sessions, which are very valuable. They are available on the website. The website is undergoing some maintenance last few days or last few weeks, so there could be one or two of the video audios missing there, but I believe they will be there in the near future in consistent format. So with that, I will stop sharing the screen. That's the end of the beginner's instructions. Now I would like to move the session to the next phase. This is where Bhante will provide us with more insight through the talk on mindfulness. So Bhante, on behalf of all of us, I am inviting with much respect for Bhante to commence the talk scheduled for today's session. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Okay, everybody, we can take probably like 15-20 minutes to discuss a little bit more about the practice. Now today we started our session with an activity. There we try to identify what are the things that matter to you, what are the things that represent you. So I started the activity asking the question, what are you? Instead of asking who are you, I asked you what are you, and you had a list, you created a list that these things represent me, right? Probably some of you, although you didn't mention that, most of you didn't mention your body, right? Bodily shape, bodily qualities, those things, usually we are attracted to them as well. We try to maintain them. If there's gray hair, we try to dye them. So those things are our parts, right? So body represents a valuable part of this existence, right? So if anything happens to it, then we worry over it, then we start complaining, then we go chasing after plastic surgeons, probably try to maintain that body in a good shape, right? Then you had your education, probably your professions and your family members, then your friends, those things you had. In addition, your thoughts, emotions, okay, I'm a kind person, right? I'm emotional. I worry over little things. So those are thoughts, emotions that represent you, right? So the idea of the activity was to make you think, make you reflect upon your life, upon your existence, and see what are the things that truly represent you, right? So if you say that partly my body is representing me, then you have to really think, is it true? Because if you have your old photos, sometimes you can't even identify yourself. Probably your parents have to come and tell you that this is you when you were little, right? So you can't even identify your body in those photos sometimes. Although we say this body represents us, or this body represents me, it is always changing. So you can't really say that this body represent me. It keep changing. Sickness come to it without your permission. Body doesn't ask your permission before it becomes sick. Various difficulties, pains, aches, they come to your body without your permission. Sometimes it breaks down without your permission. Gray hair comes. Various difficulties come. So this body is more like a rentee that we have. It's a rented house or it's a rented vehicle that we are using. So although you think that this body represents me, if you really reflect, you can see that it follows its own nature. We don't have control over it. We have a certain control. We can wash it. We can maintain it. Although you are maintaining, although you are worrying, it follows its nature. That's how this body is evolving. And at a certain point of your life, it will break down. It will end its existence, probably due to internal causes, probably due to outside reasoning. So that's the path of the body. Although we think that it is representing us, is it true? You have to reflect and see whether this body is representing me. Then some of you had your family members, friends, children in your list. So when it comes to that, that's also a big part of our life. We value our social connections. We want to have healthy social connections. We want to have healthy relationship with our family. So those things matter to us. Especially if you have children, then you might strongly hold on to them, suggesting that they represent you. Sometimes you go with your children. You put them in front. And even when you talk, you always start with that part. So those things we hold on to in our mind, we think that I am a mother, that I am a wife, I am a grandmother. So these are the things that represent me. That way you think. But with time, you can really see that certain friends that were in your life are no longer there. Even when the children, when they grow up at a certain age, they will come and tell you that you have no ownership over me. When they pass a certain age, they will give you that message. Although it is difficult to accept, That's the reality. You and your spouse, they are not behaving according to your wishes. They are not functioning according to your wishes. Certain occasions, they do things that hurt you. So are they truly representing you? You have to think. You have to reflect. Then probably you will say, okay, none of those things represent me. Still, my thoughts, emotions, these qualities I possess, they represent me. That's your last stronghold. You come and tell, okay, I have these qualities. I'm emotional. I'm kind. So these qualities represent me. These thought patterns represent me. I'm this type of a person. It's true that you value those qualities. You maintain those qualities. Certain occasions, even your family members can't challenge those qualities. If they challenge, then you become furious. You get mad. So this is your last stronghold. Okay, I am this type of a person. This is how I view things. This is how I conduct myself. When it comes to our practice, in a way, you are inquiring whether these qualities truly represent you. You are maintaining this open mind. Again and again, you are watching. We practice this awareness and try to see whether these qualities are lasting. You try to see whether these thoughts, emotions, are they permanent? So that's the observation you are doing. Although we don't usually put this practice in such terms, when you truly practice, in a way, you are discovering yourself. Instead of asking, who am I? Probably you will ask, what am I? What are the things that represent you? Are these thoughts, emotions, are they representing me? Again and again, you keep an open mind and you observe. When you observe more and more, you realize you get more and more data. More data you have, more and more difficult it will become to reach to a conclusion. If you have less data, then it's easier to reach to a conclusion. That's why you say, okay, I'm a kind person. I am emotional. I'm not worrying. Okay, I'm worrying. Whatever these qualities you are suggesting, because you have less info on you. When you get more and more observations, when you get more and more data points, certain occasions you see that although I think I am kind, I'm not so much. At certain occasions, you are not so kind. At certain occasions, you are not so emotional. So in a way, you get more and more contradicting data, contradicting observations. So in this practice, we suggest don't reach your conclusion. Instead, keep observing. Keep observing. We are not in a hurry. We have all the time in the world. You can do this 24/7. Continue to observe. Continue to observe. Observe when you go to your workplace. Observe how you are behaving. When you come home, observe how you are behaving. When you are relaxed, observe how you are behaving. When you are agitated, when you are anxious, observe how you are behaving. That observation, again and again, you are doing with an open mind. Although it is natural for you to come into conclusions, we invite you to keep an open mind again and again. It is usual, it is natural of your mind to come into conclusions. That's how it is trained. Usually, even without observations, if we can reach a conclusion, then we are happy. But in this practice, in this noble practice, we say, or in this noble experiment, we say, don't reach to a conclusion. Instead, keep it open and do your observation again and again. 1001 times, do the same observation. Keep observing with an open mind. More and more you observe, you realize it is really difficult to come into a conclusion. Because you are getting more and more contradicting data. More and more you observe, more and more difficult it will become. So that's the invitation. Really, there is no need, there is no hurry to come into a conclusion. Instead, you keep an open mind. You observe. Am I really kind? Am I really emotional? Do these thoughts, are they representing me? Sometimes there are like, there's a split mind. The same mind is suggesting all two different things. Probably you are generous. You want to give something to somebody. Right? So you buy it, you prepare it, you go and give. As soon as that thing is given, then your mind, the same mind is coming and complaining, we shouldn't spend this much money on this. Or create some other excuse. Or probably come and complain that person didn't appreciate the person that much. So this is how your mind is functioning. In a way, it's a split mind. One side, there's this positive side. Then the other side, there's this darkness. It's always moving here and there, placing itself in different occasions. So can you really say that you are kind? Can you really say that I'm this type of a person? Can you really say I only harbor these thoughts? No. You have to keep observing. You see contradictory data appearing in your mind. At certain occasions, there is light. At certain occasions, there is darkness. At certain occasions, you have positive thoughts. At certain occasions, you have negative thoughts. At certain occasions, you are kind towards other people. At certain occasions, you are not so much. So that's the true nature of this mind. More and more you observe, it becomes more and more difficult for you to come into a conclusion, for you to reach into a conclusion. So that's fine. There's no real need. And so you see, you can't really define yourself. You don't even have to try that. Then you do this observation again and again, you get tired of it. You get tired of reaching to a conclusion. You get tired of solving this puzzle. That quality, that disinterest in this process is a very valuable one. It's a very appreciated one in this practice. If you are interested in this world, if your mind is going after this world, if your mind is seeing this world as vivid and colorful, then still you are holding on to it. Still your mind values this world. So in this practice, you reach a point where you are no longer interested in this process. You see how rapidly it is changing. The interest that you have in this process is becoming less and less. That disinterest that's appearing in your mind is the gateway towards real peace. If you look, it becomes vivid and colorful, but there is no real need to look at it. If you go after certain things, they become vivid and colorful, but there is no real need. Instead, you are peaceful in this mind. When you have that peace, there is no real need to chase after things. So even in your practice, you can experience for yourself. At certain occasions, you know that you were sitting for 1 hour, you were walking for a certain time, but still you can't really explain it. You were aware, you were mindful, but really no accounts. Nothing went into your mind. You were just there. You're just there sitting for the sake of sitting. You are working for the sake of walking. So that's the quality of disinterest in this process, in this world. When that appears, that's the gateway towards real lasting peace. As long as you are interested in this world, your mind will naturally grow and grab these things, hold on to these things. If your mind is not interested in it anymore, then it lets go. This letting go, you can do it intentionally. Some people, they come and say that I try to meditate, I try to let this go. Then we say, try. Try and see whether you can do it. But you try and you realize, more I try to let it go, more I hold on to it. More I struggle, more I am attached to it. That's how this mind works. Instead, letting go is a natural process. If you stop holding on to, then this natural process is letting go. Sometimes you think that you can let go by practicing, but it's not true. Instead, if your mind is at peace, then naturally it lets go. If you stop holding on to these things, natural process is letting go. Things appear, they do their dance, and after a while they disappear. That's the world. That's the truth of this world. But when you hold on to it, it becomes vivid and colorful. It becomes your world. So you have to be mindful. You have to have this attitude towards this world. You again and again, you develop it. You go and try to reach to a conclusion. But again, you come to your root, that is this present moment. Okay, I'm here, there, I am sitting, I'm walking, I'm aware. Again, it goes and reach to a conclusion. Again, you become aware and come to your root. That very practice will allow your mind to let go. You can't think and do it. Instead, you train your mind to be present more and more. And when you train that way, natural that your mind will let go. It goes, it grabs these emotions. Again, you come back to the root. Again, you become aware. Okay, I'm in this present moment. I'm emotional. I'm worrying. I'm angry. That very awareness is your root. You become aware. Okay, this is the status of my mind. I am worrying. I'm emotional. I'm crying. Or I'm full of joy. I'm laughing. That very awareness, you can continue. Again and again, you do this observation. That observation will allow your mind to be more and more present. Accept this present moment. Be aware of this present moment. That training we are doing. And as a result, you realize that your mind is naturally letting go of these difficulties easily, letting go of these troubles easily. Only one thing you can train, that is this very awareness. As a result of that awareness, your mind lets go. So even within few weeks, few months of practice, you can see the result of this. You will see at a certain point that after a few weeks of practice, my mind is easily letting go. I used to take these things. I used to worry for hours, think for hours, days, weeks earlier. Now, I am letting it go within few hours, within few minutes. That's the process that will happen. With practice, you will realize the progress that you have made. So that's why we are inviting you to practice again and again. See the result for yourself. Share your experience. When you share it, when you see the result for yourself, then you don't have to believe somebody else's word. Instead, you experience for yourself. There's no better realization than that. That's a famous question. Usually, certain people, they come and ask, do you believe your teacher? Then the disciple answers, no, I'm not believing. Then he is saying that, see, this disciple is not even believing his own teacher. And then that person again answers, why should I believe my teacher when I experience for myself? There's no need to believe because I experience for myself. When you experience for yourself, there's no need to believe somebody else's word. You know that it works. You know that this practice creates peace in your mind. So that's the idea. Try to continue for a few weeks. Try to make a part of your daily schedule. Every day, 30 minutes, I am sitting early in the morning. That's how I start my day. Every day, 30 minutes, I am walking before bed. And that's how I end my day. Make it a part of your daily schedule. Make it a habit. And when you continue for a few weeks, few months, you really see the results. Even somebody was sharing their experience. That person was saying, I am new to mindfulness. Probably 1 month I have practiced. Every day, 10 minutes practice I did. So that's her investment for 1 month, daily 10 minutes. And she is saying that when I practiced in the morning, 10 minutes, I noticed that throughout that day, I am peaceful. When troubles come, when difficulties come, I face those difficulties wisely. People come and blame me. I'm not chasing after them. Instead, I respond wisely. I save my energy and I move on. I experience this peace throughout my day when I practice for 10 minutes early morning. When I don't practice, I see there's difficulty, friction in my mind. And when people come and blame me, when troubles come, I get carried away. I tend to blame them. So that 10 minutes investment for 1 month, that's her experience. So you can see how helpful this practice to your daily life, to your daily functioning. So that's the idea. Try to experience for yourself every day. Try to reserve some time for the formal practice. And see how this practice is benefiting you. When you see the result for yourself, when you see the benefits for yourself, you don't have to believe somebody else's words, right? So that's the idea. Try and practice and we'll meet once again.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that in-depth talk on mindfulness practice. I believe, although it was a talk for a few minutes, Bhante covered a lot of ground and depth in that talk. Much merits to Bhante. And if anyone has questions, you can raise a Zoom hand and we will allow you to get further clarification. Yes, Rajika, you can speak up. Thank you.
Thank you, Namantha. Sarai Bhante, it's not a question. I just want to give a comment. Wholeheartedly agreed Bhante's talk. Even though I said I'm kind, caring, that my qualities, once Bhante's talk unfolding, I was deeply think about those qualities I was talking about, that what I thought, what am I? And I think these are the qualities I believe as good qualities, and I want to represent, I want to see the other people think about me like that. But I know if because I value those qualities, I know I value the truthfulness or trust. If someone break my trust or if someone lie to me, I'm not so kind that my quality of kindness all gone, and I can get so angry, and I can be very unkindful in that kind of situation. So as Bhante said, I can see like it's not a like the both sides of the kindness. I feel like I have inside me. I just want to add that comment after Bhante. So thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, that's a good observation. As you can see, both light and darkness, they are within us. You mentioned something valuable. These are the qualities that I want other people to value in me, right? So that's a good observation. That's the real nature of our mind. We create this image and we want other people to maintain it, right? We prefer if other people think this way about me. I'm a kind person. That's my image. Right, probably inside, not so true. As you mentioned, the opposite qualities are there. So we are not right coming into a conclusion, okay, I'm a bad person. No need. Instead, you do this observation. At certain occasions, you are kind. That's a good quality. At certain occasions, not so much. You know it's a bad quality, but still let it be. Don't try to, you know, push it away. If you try to push it away, then it will become more and more stronger. Remember that story about two wolves, right? When you try to push one away, that one becomes stronger and stronger. So that's how it goes, right? Instead of pushing something away, you realize, you become aware, okay, this is who am I. Certain occasions I'm kind, I'm helpful. I go and do these things for other people. But even based on those actions, sometimes I'm unkind. I'm not so helpful. Maybe they are connected even sometimes. Right? So that's how it works. That's how it works. You just do the observation. Again and again, you do this observation. You don't have to reach into a conclusion. You don't have to reach into a conclusion that I'm a bad person, I'm a good person. No need. Instead, do this observation. When you do it, the need to come into a conclusion will vanish. That's the only result that will appear, right? Initially, there was a need to come into a conclusion. Initially, there was a need to maintain an image. Now, that need is gone, right? That need is gone. Whatever things are functioning, they function according to nature. You don't have to claim ownership of it. That's the change that will happen. So do this observation. Even being a monk, certain people expect you to behave in a certain way, right? And you also try to maintain certain image that I'm a monk. I have to behave this way, right? That's how it goes. But when you really, truly dig in and observe, you realize not so much. Still, there's a lay person inside me. That part is still there. Right? Still, sometimes I'm behaving like a monk. Sometimes I'm behaving like a monkey, right? Monks and monkeys, both of them, they live in a forest, right? So that's how, that's the observation, right? Again and again, you observe. And when you do it, you realize you don't have to find faults. Or you don't have to appreciate. Instead, you do this observation. At certain occasions, I'm kind. At certain occasions, not so much. At certain occasions, you are helpful. At certain occasions, not so much. That very observation we are doing. So that's the idea. And thank you for adding that comment.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for giving me the opportunity. Much merit to you. Now, Manta, what do you?
Thank you, Rajika, and thank you, Bhante, for the question and the answer. Is there anyone else wanting to ask a question quickly? Okay, I think today's session is coming to an end with the talk and Rajika's question. So I would move towards concluding the session today. So Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusulatera was kind and very kind to join us for today's session, imparting with a lot of advice, insight on mindfulness practice, and covered a lot of depth in the talk itself. Much merits to Bhante. I would wish these merits will move on to improve Bhante's own practice, and also Bhante is able to participate throughout this session to guide us in this manner. And then I would like to thank and share merits with Most Venerable Bhante Udayiri Gema Dhammajiva Mahatheru for insightfully requesting the program to be created and sustained. And we wish these merits will flow on to Chief Bhante and make his make him proceed and progress in his own journey in mindfulness. And I wish the same for all the monks residing at Nisarana Vanaya Forest Monastery. Also, I would like to thank and pass on merits gathered to all the organizers who have initiated the program and who are working hard to sustain the program in this format. And I would also like to thank and pass merits to all the participants who have participated today, and also those who have participated in earlier sessions, because of whom we are able to sustain and justify the presence of the program. So much merits to all of you who have been mentioned just now. And also, I would like to put on a few quick announcements in the Zoom chat section as I speak. Also, I would like to give an opportunity for any person to make a suggestion or comment about the overall program. Okay, I think there is no one raising Zoom hand. So this program, as you have observed, will benefit you over the long term. I would also like to thank all those who are submitting reports for the session. They are very useful for everyone to learn and also to sustain the program too. Much merits to you. So please participate in the program and keep on writing reports and sending them. They will improve your practice as well. I would like to wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead until we meet you again in a similar format next week, same time on Saturday. So much merits to all of you. I will end the Zoom session now.